has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you the first?
Yes. But okay. I just got here.
So did I. How is Tony doing?
So-so. He's on that antibiotic and, you know, makes you kind of tired. And he hasn't seen any real results, but I thought he looked better. And he fixed his own breakfast, so that was a plus.
When did you have to reschedule the procedure?
I don't know. They haven't called us back. They canceled and then wanted to do it next Wednesday, but that was his appointment with the kidney specialist. So I told them I'd have to cancel it and would get back with them. Well, I canceled it and rescheduled it. They gave us December 2nd, and we called and left a message on the nurse's answering machine. So that was 2 days ago. And we haven't heard that. But I know he has to have a urine test, and he also has to have another COVID test, you know, before they'll do any kind of surgical procedure. So it may be that they're waiting, but she has to let us know because he has to come off of the Plavix. He went back on the Plavix, but he has to be off at least 5 days, so... But that's kind of how things are around here. But I always take it to mean when the right time, who knows what bacteria or what was floating around that we needed to miss.
Correct. It'll happen at the right time.
Right. And the closer we get to Christmas, the better. You know.
Marco?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
I'm going to take another minute or so to finish my lunch if I can. I appreciate that. You can pull up the handout. It's on the Unique Astrological Times. And when you scroll down to Tomer Devorah, and you open that up on the Safaria website, we're going to start with chapter 9, verse 1. There are five sections or five verses. So I'm not sure we'll finish all of chapter 9 today. But we'll see. Lusemi Hutu Chabri Huishkin David, Luurkimu, Utkilo, Utkilo, Urkimu. Leakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavate, Behuda, Shalim, Beshem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah mitzvah, lasot Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Elohino aleinu maasei yadeinu kunei aleinu maasei yadeinu kunei. Vayeh yargil ha-adam atzmo v'midot ha-malchut v'ha-shpil et atzmo. Rishona lekulam shelo yitzakaye libo bekol asher lo. Vayasim atzmo tamid keani v'amid atzmo livnei kono kedal shoel umid chanem uhargil atzmo v'midazo afilu sheyihye ashir yachshov she'en davek imo mikol asher lo miubavu me'ezav tzarich l'rachamei haborei tamid she'en lo kol davar ela halechem asher okel v'yach miya livavo v'ya'ani atzmo v'magam v'yat tefilotav shezo v'gula nifla'a u'chafech mize ne'emar v'ram levavecha v'shakachta she'hashikha achitzonit mitzoya sham v'david itaeg v'midazo arbe she'amar ki yachid b'ani ani she'harei kol anshei beito kol echad ve'echad tzarich l'heyazer v'atzmo ma kulam elav afilu ishto v'anav ma yo'ilu v'yehoto mishpat lifnei haborei o be'et filuk mishmato kalon v'lavu ela ad kivro ma'em lo be'et dinal mipetach ad kever ve'ela v'fikach yashpil v'takein it atzmo v'sod hamida hazot. Chapter 9. How a person can accustom himself with the trade of kingship, which is malchut, to lower himself that his heart not become haughty. He should first of all always make himself like a poor person in front of his maker, like an indigent requesting and begging. To accustom himself to this trait, even if he is rich, he should think that there is not a thing that is attached to him from all that he has, and he is forsaken and always needs the mercy of the Creator, since he has nothing besides the bread of that he eats. And he should subdue his heart and afflict himself, and even more so at the time of his prayers, as it is a wonderful device. And about the opposite of this it is stated, and your heart will rise and you will forget, as external forgetfulness is found there. And David supplicated with this trait much, as he stated, for I am alone and poor. As behold, each and every one of the people of his household needs to help himself. What are they then to him? And even even his wife and children, what will they help him when he is judged in front of the Creator? For at the time that his soul is withdrawn, will they accompany him any further than to his grave? What are they for him at the time of his judgments, from the opening of the grave and beyond? Hence he should lower and refine himself with the secret of this trait. Being a poor person is something that we have to strive to remember. We're always looking around us and comparing ourselves to people, to other people, and we see them as being less than us. Even if it's not true, we will still perceive it that way. And we have to work on ourselves to recognize that we are the poor person. No matter how much material wealth we might have, of how much spiritual aspects or spiritual growth we have undergone, we are the poor one. We are in lack, and that means poor. We have a desire and it's not fulfilled. That means we are poor. Chapter 9:2. O Jinniya Parshu, the Sefer HaZohar, the He Hashuva, Meod Yigle Mimakom, the Makom, the Shem Shamayim, Uvaze Yeaste, Merkava El Hashkina, Hagola Vaidabe. Amen. Atmo hare ani galiti vahare kaletish meshe ami imi. Maya se keva the kelav the call ya kalto kedictive. Kele gola, asi lach viachnia, levavo bagola, vaitka asher, batora viaz shekina imo. Vayase liatmo garushin, vaitgaresh mi beit menuvato. Tamid kedere shehayu mitgarshim Rabbi Shimon v'chal beirav v'oskim v'torah umagam im yekatet raglav mimakom lemakom belisus v'rekev alav ne'emar Shivro al Hashem Melohav Ufer Shuvo Lashon Shever Shehu Meshaber Gufo Likvot Gavoa. To go into exile, there is a second method that they explained in the book of the Zohar. And it is very important that he should exile himself from place to place for the sake of the heavens. And through this, he will become a chariot for the exiled divine presence. And he should compare himself. Behold, I am in exile, and behold, I have all of the vessels that I need with me. What does the honor of the higher realm do as the divine presence was exiled? But her vessels are not with her, as they were removed on account of the exile. And so he should minimize his vessels with all of his ability, as it is written. Vessels of an exile make for yourself, and he should subdue his heart in the exile and connect to Torah. And then the divine presence will be with him, and he should make for himself an expulsion and always expel himself from the house of his resting in the way that Rabbi Shimon and his colleagues would expel themselves and occupy themselves with Torah. And all the more so if he can pound his feet from place to place without a horse and wagon. About such a one, it is stated, his hope, the Hebrew word is sivro, is to the Lord his God. And they explained in the Zohar about it that it is an expression of breaking, which is the Hebrew word shever, such that he breaks his body for the honor of the higher realm. This verse, chapter, whatever you want to call it, as I'm reading it, I'm realizing this is what happened. This is what my experience was. I exiled myself from my home in Los Angeles, and I went on the road to teach Kabbalah, and I went from city to city for about 3 years. And I would stay in a city, but it wasn't home. It was a hotel room. It was a weekly hotel. Sometimes one of my students would invite me to their home because they kept kosher and I was able to stay there. But it truly is exile. And it gave me the consciousness of exile. And now that I've been staying in one place in Atlanta, I still have that consciousness that I'm an exile. And it's helped me to understand that I don't live in this physical world. That's not my home. I'm a sojourner here. I visit. I'm a tourist. And it helps to connect to Hashem with this consciousness. Now, not everyone needs to go on this path. People are married. They cannot leave their family. They cannot leave their home and just go on the road like I did. I was single. I didn't have my children were grown. I didn't have the hold that most people have, so I was able to do it. And when we study the various sages of the Hasidic movement, they all did this before they were married. But once they married, they settled. But it gave them that consciousness that they were never home because they took their home with them. And they didn't need all the extraneous things to take with them, the physical things that we keep in our home that we think we need. But they're extraneous. They burden us. They keep us connected to the physicality. And when you travel like that, you realize the trade-off is between what you can carry, what you can pack in your car, and what is you need to really have your vessels with you, as this verse is expressing. I'm not saying that people need to do this. I'm saying you can attain the consciousness without having to do the trip. Chapter 9:3. Li'ireya et Hashem od mimidat hamalchut. Mida hashuva meod shar haavoda kula v'hiyo li'ira et Hashem v'nikbad v'hanora v'hine hayira mesukenet meod lipadjem Ikanes Bahitsonim Shehareim Hu Yaremin Aisurim Omin Hamika Odmi Gainum Arezo Yirat Bahitsonim Sheko Peulod Elu Min Hachitzonim Amnam Ha'ira Ha'ikarit Le'ira Et Hashem Wehu She'yaksho Bishlosha Devarim. To fear Hashem. There is another very important trait from the trait of kingship, and it is the gateway to all of the divine service, and that is to fear the glorious and awesome Hashem. And behold, fear is very much in danger of being harmed, in that the external forces enter it. As behold, if he fears from afflictions, from death or from Gehinnom, observe that this is fear of the external forces, since all of these functions are from the external forces. However, the essential fear is to fear Hashem, and that is that he think about three things. The second paragraph of this third paragraph, or second paragraph of this third verse. Ha'echaliyot gedulato shel yotzer hakol al kol nimtza. The first, that the greatness of the Creator of all is over all that exists. The third paragraph of the third verse. Wahare Adam Yare Min Hari Min Hado Min Hada Min Haish Min Hashem Mapolet Ve'eluhem Sheluhim Kitanim Delama Lo Yira Min Hamelech Gadol Yehiye Pachado Al Panav Migdulato V'yomar He'ah Yechetayata Ha'adam Panidze Le'adam Rav Kazar Vachare Ilu Hayado Yochlehu Ilu Hakadosh Baruch Hu Dovel Albon Ifneze Lo Yira Mipachado Ugdulato. And behold, a man fears from a lion, from a bear, from a violent man, from fire, from a falling structure, and yet they are small agents. And so why would he not fear from the great king, such that his fear be on his face from his greatness? And he should say, how can a disgraceful man sin to a big master like this? And behold, is it because if he were a bear, he would eat him? Whereas the Holy One, blessed be he, actually tolerates the insult, that he does not fear from his awe and his greatness. The fourth paragraph of the third verse. Hasheni kasher yidame hashkatato Tamid shehu tzofeh umabit bo. The second, then he envisions his constant supervision, such that he watches and observes him. If we are aware that Hashem is observing us, or even if he has identified watchers to observe us, if we recognize that as his constant supervision, how could we sin? How could we do a negative action? We could not. We do a negative action because we have forgotten that Hashem is watching. If we never forget that, we will always be in a state of fear, the state of yirah. On one level, it's fear, and on another level, it's awe. How could we even forget that? Of course we forget it. We're human. This is what we do. But we need to recognize that we should not do that. And we need to find a way to keep Hashem in front of us always. And that's how we maintain our awe. That's how we maintain our fear. The fifth paragraph of verse 3. Wahare ha'eved yare me'rabo tamid ba'ye bi'hayoto lefanav we'adam tamid lifnei ha'bore we'eno pekucha al kol dirakav yira v'yichad ha'ye Yirenu mivatel mitzvotav. And behold, the slave always fears from his master when he is in front of him. And a person is always in front of the Creator, and his eye is open upon all of his ways. He should fear and be afraid how he can see him negate his commandments. He should be afraid of how Hashem sees us go against his mitzvot. The sixth verse, the sixth paragraph of the third verse. Ashlishi heyoto shoresh kol hanshamot. The third item is being the source of all the souls. If we remember that Hashem is the source of our soul, we remember this, that Hashem is the source of every soul, it strengthens our resolve not to do a negative misaction. The seventh paragraph of the third verse. Wikulan Musharasho Bisvirotav Behachote Pogem Hekalo Belamalo Ira Heahie Hekal Hamele. Meluch lach mimas al harayim. And they are all rooted in his sephirot. And so the sinner harms his chamber. And why does he not fear how the chamber of the king is dirty from his bad deeds? When we do a negative action, we are creating dirt in our life, which is chaos, but it's also creating dirt in the chamber of Hashem. Hold on a second. Come in. said that. Thank you. I'm back. The eighth paragraph of the third verse. Arivi yirevashepagam masalem dochim Shekina Milmala. The fourth, his fear that the defect of his deeds are pushing the divine presence from the above. The Midrashim has explained to us that Hashem was in the world when he created Adam and Eve. And then as each generation did various actions of negativity, it pushed Hashem out of the world to a higher level of heaven. And he was pushed to the seventh level of heaven, to the highest level, by the various negative actions, until along came Avraham, and he pulled him down from the highest level, the seventh heaven, to the sixth level. And then Isaac pulled him down to the fifth level, the fifth heaven. And Jacob pulled him down to the fourth level. And then various ones of his children, of Jacob's children, pulled him to the fourth. And Aaron, pulled him to the second. I don't remember who pulled him to the third. But he's now in the second heaven. And then Moshe did his actions of positivity, and that's what pulled Hashem back down into the world. But then the sin of the golden calf sent him back up to the second heaven. And we've been sending him and pulling him up and down. We don't think we have that power, but we do. Each individual one of us has that power. Because the seven heavens are personal. They're also global, but they're personal. Do you want to live in the seventh heaven while you're living in the physical world? That's what we're capable of if we would only follow the directions of the Torah. But we don't. And this book, Tomer Devora, is explaining to us how we can. The ninth paragraph of the third verse. Vayira heyach yigrom hara'ah ha'gola azon lehafrid heyshech ha'melech min ha'malka v'ha'ira shehiyo kayotze v'zehiyo yira Yasheret Adam El Tikun Amida Hazot Davekba. And he should fear how he causes this great evil to break off the desire of the king from the queen. And the fear that is similar to this is the fear that straightens a person to the reparation of this trait, and he should cling to it. when we realize that we are causing Hashem to lose the desire for the Shekhinah, we are creating the separation between the two of them, and that should be feared. That's a significant consequence. We need to be afraid of that consequence, and we need to do tikkun for having that effect on Hashem, or actually on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a name of Hashem that relates to the to Hashem who is active and has lowered himself to be, so that it appears to us that there is two kings, one of evil and one of good. There isn't ever, but it appears to us like that. That's the meaning of the name HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chapter 4, chapter 9, verse 4. Vasot shehashkina hadavek bo ad yedi hahatana hadut im eshet eshto ishto oz zehirut arbe tzarich leika hadam Leatmo laso chetiye chekina deveka imovilo ti pare mimenu behine hadam beochelo nasa isha peshita shein imo shekina Kalauki ikar shekina le adam mitzad han keva han keva v'hadam omit bein shete han kevot ne keva tech tahtona gayash mit shehino telet Me menu sher kisu veona vehashkina aomeded alav levarko bekulam sheiten veyatzor vayiten leshet berito keinyan atiferet Shehu omed ben shetei ankevot ima ilaha lehashkia lo kol hatzorech ve'ima tata'a lekabel mimenu she'er kesut ve'ona hesed din rachamim Tano da velo tavo ela shekina im lo yedume el metziut ha'elyon. Make it so that the divine presence clings to him by his behavior with his wife. There is also much care that a man must take for himself in this to make it that the divine presence be clinging to him and not separate from him. And behold, it is obvious that when a man has not yet married a woman, the divine presence is not with him at all, as the essence of the divine presence for a man is from the side of the female. And a man stands between the two females, the lower physical female who takes flesh, covering, and time from him, and the divine presence that stands above him, to bless him with all of them, that he give and give again to the wife of his covenant. This is the like the matter of the splendor that stands between two females, the higher mother, understanding, that flows all that is needed to him, and the lower mother, kingship, that receives from him flesh, covering, and time, which are kindness, judgment, which is severity, and mercy, splendor, as is known. And the divine presence will not come to him if he does not resemble the highest existence. This paragraph would take an extensive amount of time to explain, and it's worthwhile that we take this time. In our physical world, a man gets married, and his wife, while she does not think that this is true, his wife takes flesh, she takes covering, and she takes time. What is the time that she is taking? It's time away from the study of Torah. But if he doesn't take the time, she is unhappy. And if she is unhappy, the Shekhinah is unhappy with him. And he has to learn to balance the study of Torah with the time he attends to his wife. He attends to her out of love. But that love for his wife is a pale reflection to the love he has to learn. How do you love the Shekhinah? And most wives would find that statement very difficult to understand. It's coming from a male perspective. The greater a man's love of his wife, the greater is his love of the Shekhinah. It's not one or the other. It's two for one, and you connect more strongly to the other. Many men do not understand that, and so they perceive the time that they're spending away from Torah study with their wives as a loss. But it is not a loss. It enhances their connection to the Shekhinah. What are the other two things? The covering. The covering is referring to intimacy. It's a nice word. It's not a word that really gives you a sense of intimacy. But that's what it's meant to describe, the time of intimacy. And his wife receives flesh from him. Flesh is a code word for physical things, physicality. He goes to work to provide for rent payments for the house, for clothing for his spouse. As we learn, you should spend money on the way your spouse dresses. You should spend money on what makes her happy. But you don't need to spend the money on you having a fancy fur coat or a very expensive suit. These are things that are not important to you. That may be true, it may not be true. But if it's not true, if it's true that you want expensive things so that you can look important to other people, that's a trait you need to work on. How do you identify traits, characteristics, midot, that you need to work on? Everything that the Sefer Tomer Devorah is teaching us is having us look at ourselves and determine whether it's important. What is important? Why is it important for your wife to have expensive clothes at all? Do you need to spend that money? The answer is yes. Why? On a simple level, because it makes her happy. On another level, it's because she represents the Shekhinah in your life. Another part of this paragraph, of this verse number four, the first paragraph in verse number four, is to explain the relationship of the Sephirot. That there is there's always a relationship that the male must be between the two females, between Bina and Malchut. There must be Zeron Pin. But in our world, between my wife and my mother, I must find balance. And typically mother-in-laws, mothers, and daughters and daughter-in-laws. The balance point is the male. He doesn't like it, but this is how he learns to be in balance. And they pull him in different directions. But it's not about being pulled in different directions. It's about learning to find balance. And that's what this paragraph is expressing. And it's very difficult to understand. And it's put on the level of between Chesed and Gevura, there is Rachamim, mercy. There is Tiferet. And Tiferet is an essence of the male. And Chesed and Gevura represent the female, one higher than the other. Which is higher? That depends on where you are in the spiritual realm. We're going to stop here, and we will probably reread this first paragraph of verse 9 next week, because it definitely is something that we need to recognize what it's saying. Does anyone have any questions? We're almost out of time. We have about 8 minutes left. So have I offended everybody because I'm talking from the frame of male? And most of my students are female? I hope not. And if I have offended people, I apologize. But I'm trying to get across what the verse was explaining. Does anybody have any questions so that you want? Mute yourself. I'll remind you of your sticker. One being the deep Zohar, and one's going to be questions and answers. And we are in anticipating a significant question about secrets. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom Gadol. I certainly wasn't offended. It was really new information.
It helps to understand the relationship of a marriage that most people just never, it's never perceived that way because they don't have the background in the second row.
Mm-hmm. Not offended. I'm an awful too, so not offended.
You broke up, Malka. Were you offended or you were not offended?
No, my male self is not offended at all. My female self is not offended at all.
Thank you very much. I have to recognize, I have to become more sensitive about it because as Sagittarius, what I say are arrows and they tend to pierce people's hearts. And there's easier ways to pierce them to wake people up. So I try and be sensitive along those lines. Don't always achieve it, though. But thank you. You both or all of you have a wonderful afternoon, and I hope to see you later in the other classes.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.